All right. If you're buying a dental practice, I want to talk about the first thing that you should look at when you're evaluating practices. And really, this is the only thing that matters when you buy a practice. Sure, there's going to be lots of things you should be looking at, but this one thing is so much more important than basically anything else. So most dentists, when they look at a practice, the first thing they're going to ask about is what was the production or the adjusted production or collections or the total revenue for the previous year. Absolutely, that number is important. It's important to know how much work was done at the practice, but I think dentists pay way too much attention to that number when there are other things that are so much more important, because ultimately what the seller did before you buy the practice doesn't really matter to you. What matters to you is what are you able to produce at this practice after you buy it. So I want to start off by showing you two practices. Both of these are practices that I have worked with clients on. I've rounded off a few of the numbers just to make things easy and for confidentiality purposes, but these are two real practices. And right off the bat, I'm going to say one of them was a practice that I recommended buying. The other one was one that I said, hey, maybe you should keep looking for other practices because this isn't such a good practice to buy. I'm not gonna tell you right away which practice is which. I wanna see if you can figure it out. And so the first thing I wanna actually look at was what was the previous year's revenue. So revenue for practice one was about $800,000. So $800,000 a year. Practice two, also about 800,000. So if all you were looking at was revenue, it'd be safe to assume that basically these practices are the same. You should be paying the same amount for each practice because the practices are equal, right? Some people think it's as simple as just taking a percentage. They say like, oh, I'll pay 80% of the previous year's revenue. Okay, well then according to that, you're gonna pay the same for both of these practices. But next thing, let's look at location, because people are always asking about, well, the location of that practice, where was it located? So in this case, practice one was located in a mid-sized city, nothing crazy. And it wasn't in the middle of nowhere either. You know, it was a suburban type, you know, mid-sized city. Practice two, also located in a very similar mid-sized city. So revenue-wise and location-wise, these practices are about the same. But here's where these two practices really begin to differ. For me, the most important document to look at when you're considering whether or not you should buy a practice is the production by procedure report. This is gonna be a report that shows every single thing that was done at the practice sorted by ADA code, and it shows how many of those procedures were done, and usually it shows a dollar amount, the total amount produced, and it'll show a percentage. 20% of the revenue was from crowns, and sometimes you'll have to add those up because there might be porcelain, there might be PFM, there might be zirconia, and they might be categorized as different ADA codes. Some reports are helpful, and they'll actually, in addition to showing each code, they'll also put categories so you can see what percentage each category was. If not, you might have to add some of that stuff up yourself. But today I really want to focus on just two or three line items from that production by procedure report. So one of the most important codes to look at is going to be the periodic exams. So practice one, there were 1,800 periodic exams done in the previous year. That's a pretty decent number of periodic exams. That's gonna be kind of at the limit of what one single hygienist could do. Probably this practice has at least 1.5 hygienists, maybe two. It's possible that one hygienist is doing it, but if that was the case, this hygienist is gonna be working really hard. Practice number two, though, only had 700 periodic exams. So let's do some quick math here. 1,800 divided by 700, 2.5. Practice one is doing 2.5 as many periodic exams as practice two. More than double the amount of periodic exams. This is a very significant difference between two practices where both practices are producing the same amount. This is something that should be very concerning to you if you're considering buying practice number two. Why are there so few periodic exams at this practice? One of the reasons why periodic exams are one of the most important things to look at is because by looking at periodic exams, you can get a very accurate representation of how many patients there are at the practice. Now, in an ideal world, each patient would be coming in twice per year. So for every two periodic exams, that should signify one patient. However, in real life, every patient is not going to come back at exactly 6 months. Some are gonna come back once a year, some are gonna be even less frequent than that. So in order to give kind of a decent estimate, I like to divide this number by 1.5, and that gives you as close as possible to an estimate of how many active patients there are actually on the recall system at this practice. So let's calculate how many active patients there are at practice number one. So we're gonna take the number of recall exams, we're gonna divide it by 1.5, and that gives us 1,200 active patients. We'll do the same thing for practice two, and we're at 467. When you buy a practice, the most important thing that you're buying is access to patients. You could easily lease a building, talk to the local Henry Schein or Patterson rep, and get brand new equipment for a lot less money than actually buying a practice usually. But the reason you're buying a practice is because you want to have patients on your schedule when you start out. If you do a startup, you're not gonna have any patients right away. Sometimes it takes dentists 2 or 3 years before they even become profitable when doing a startup. Sometimes it takes even longer before they're making decent amounts of money, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 a year. If you buy the right practice, on the other hand, you can be making $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 your first year. And that's because you have patients on your schedule from which you're able to treatment plan. And so if it's not obvious by now, if you have the option between two practices that are producing about the same and likely selling for about the same amount of money, you absolutely should buy the practice that has the most active patients. So if we compare practice one to practice two, practice one has 2.5 times as many patients. That is a huge difference. That could be the difference between you making $80,000 your first year and $250,000 or $300,000. So the question is, if these practices have such a wildly different number of active patients, why is it that they are producing roughly the same amount per year? Generally, the answer to this is gonna be found once again on that production by procedure report. We're not gonna have time to go through every single line item, but I wanna draw your attention to one specific line, and that's the number of crowns that were done. Practice one did 80 crowns in the previous year, while practice two did 450 crowns in the previous year. Never mind all the other procedures that were done at this office, this one line probably explains how the second office was able to produce as much as the first office with only a third of the amount of patients. I cannot overstate how dramatic of a difference this is. 80 crowns versus 450 crowns. The reason that practice two is able to produce what it's producing with as few patients as it has is because the dentist, the seller of this practice, the dentist that is working there is producing a lot more per patient. Now, obviously, without actually seeing the patients, I cannot say if any malpractice was done or anything wrong was being done here, but I can say for a fact that dentist number two is doing a lot more dentistry on patients than dentist number one. What happens when you buy a practice where the previous dentist was overproducing on patients is you're gonna come in and you're gonna see every single patient is going to have 5 new crowns, you know, these bright white zirconia crowns on their teeth, and you're not gonna have any treatment to do because all of the work has already been done. This is not a position that you want to be in as a new practice owner. On the other hand, if you buy this practice where there were only 80 crowns done in the previous year, even though there are more than 1,000 patients, chances are there's gonna be a lot of work for you to do the first day that you walk in, the first week, the first month. You're likely gonna be able to at least do 1.5 the previous year's production, maybe double the previous year's production if you come in and you are adequately diagnosing and comprehensively treatment planning on these patients. Sometimes you'll find practices where the previous dentist was really slowing down, maybe nearing retirement and just really wasn't taking things seriously, maybe was afraid to treatment plan on patients, maybe just didn't really feel like it and didn't want to do the work. Sometimes you'll find practices where the radiograph equipment is outdated and the dentist isn't even noticing things. Sometimes you'll find dentists that are, you know, trying to do patients a favor by doing these MODBL large amalgams. Maybe it feels good for the patients in the short term that they don't have to pay for a crown, but guess what? They're gonna be coming back. The first few years that you had this practice, you're gonna have patient after patient coming back with these large MOD amalgams where cusps have fractured off and where it's time for crowns on these teeth. So given the option between the practice that did 450 crowns versus 80 crowns in the previous year, absolutely you wanna choose the practice that did 80 crowns, not the one that did 450. When I bought my practice, I was lucky enough to buy a practice where the dentist really had been slowing down and really hadn't been doing that much work in the last 5 to 10 years. And so when I came in, there was an enormous amount of undiagnosed dentistry to do. I promise you that is the type of situation you want to be in. So I wanna show you one more number to look at, and it's really easy to calculate based upon the numbers that we already have. We're gonna look at revenue per patient. Now, because we have revenue and because we have number of patients, it's as easy as taking revenue and dividing it by the number of active patients. So practice number one, that number is $667 per patient. And we do that same calculation on practice number two, and that number is 1,714. So at practice number two, the dentist is doing on average more than $1,000 more per patient per year. The average dentist is able to produce somewhere between $500 and $1,000 per patient per year on average. Now, if you're a dentist that does a lot of specialty procedures, implants, Invisalign, et cetera, all on four cases, those types of things, then you might be able to get this number a little bit higher. And if you're someone who just likes to stick to the basics, this number is probably gonna be a little bit lower. But even then, there's ways you can get this number up without having to do any crazy treatment planning on patients. For instance, things like making sure each patient is receiving fluoride and making sure each patient is coming back at exactly 6 months. Between exams, cleanings, x-rays, fluoride, just one hygiene appointment, you can produce $200 to $300 per patient. So if that patient is coming back twice a year, you can get $500 or $600 right there without having to do any dentistry at all on those patients. If you find a practice where office production is only $500 to $600 per patient, that's a sign that the dentistry is really not doing that much dentistry. But on the other hand, if you find a practice where that number is drastically above $1,000 per patient, well, that means that the dentist is producing a lot per patient, and it's going to be a lot harder for you to replicate that production when you take over the practice. I've seen some practices where this number is as low as $250 to $300, and I've seen some where it's as high as the mid 2000s. When you get into specialty practices like oral surgery practices and orthodontic practices, oftentimes the number is a lot higher. Like for instance, an orthodontic practice, almost everyone who comes in is going to be getting braces, which is gonna be, you know, $5,000 or $6,000, $7,000. So the average revenue per patient in an orthodontic practice is gonna be much higher than in a general office. But assuming you're looking to buy a general practice, you want this number to ideally be somewhere around $500 to $800 per patient, because that means the dentist wasn't dramatically overproducing on the patients. Now I wanna give you a quick piece of advice on working with bankers and accountants. The dentist who brought me practice number two had already shown this practice to a bank and had gotten approved for a loan and had showed this practice to an accountant. And apparently the accountant said good things about the numbers for this practice. The thing is, sure, this practice was cash flowing. The dentist was making a profit. I think the dentist here was making like $350,000 per year. So that's good money. The seller was making good money at this practice. But the thing that the bank and the accountant missed was the reason this dentist was making so much money at this practice was because this dentist was overproducing on the patients. If you come in and buy this practice as a buyer, chances are you are not going to be able to replicate the production of that seller in the first few years, unless you are gonna go down the same road as what that seller was doing and overproduce on patients. You need to be very careful about who you work with when you are buying a practice, because a lot of people, they might have experience with business in general, but they might not have this type of experience with dental practices. Remember when you're buying a practice that basically everyone that you talk to has a financial incentive to have you buy that practice. The practice broker is only going to get their commission if you buy the practice. The banker is only going to get their commission if you get a loan through their bank. And the accountant that you're working with is only gonna start getting paid once you buy a practice and hire them to do your books and do your taxes. I had to have a long conversation with this dentist who showed me this practice because he was convinced it was a great practice to buy because the bank and his accountant told him it was a great practice. But I had to sit down with him and say, like, are you gonna be able to produce $1,700 per patient? What are you doing right now at your associate job? We calculated it out and he was doing like $600 per patient at his associate job. Now, to be fair, because this was an associate job, this was not taking into account hygiene production. So if he was at a private practice, this number probably would have been 800 or 900. So he was doing fine. Like, he was producing a good amount for a dentist, for a general dentist. He was doing a great job, but he was not gonna be able to produce what this other dentist was producing. It just wouldn't have been possible. Remember, it doesn't matter what the seller produced last year. What matters is what are you going to be able to produce once you buy the practice. So in short, you want to buy a practice that has a lot of active patients. The easiest way to estimate this number is going to be looking at the production by procedure report and dividing that number by 1.5. Finally, you want to make sure that the seller was not overproducing on patients. The way you figure this out is by looking at the production by procedure report and seeing what procedures were being done and if it looked like the amount of procedures being done makes sense for a practice of that size. And then if you want to take a shortcut, you can just figure out the revenue per patient and see if that number lies between 500 and 1,000. Don't think that just because the seller was profitable, that means that you are going to be profitable when you buy this practice. You need to go a little bit deeper than just looking at the adjusted production or the collections of the practice. So if you're interested in buying a practice and have never done it before, do not hesitate to reach out. This is not the time to be doing this alone. I've been through the process myself, both buying and selling a practice. I'll be honest, since starting this channel, the amount of people that have been reaching out asking for help looking at practices has honestly been a little bit overwhelming, but I will absolutely make sure to find time for you if you are serious about buying a practice and are looking for help. And if you're still early on in the process, just keep learning as much as you can. I have a bunch of videos and podcast episodes talking about practices that you can watch, as well as I released a book. I have the audiobook version posted for free here on the YouTube channel or in the podcast. Make sure you're subscribed because I will keep releasing content like this. And when you're ready for help, make sure to reach out.